rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for his great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have heard and strayed from thy grace like lost sheep. We have followed too much devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no help in us.
Thank you. the man Elkanah, and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord. Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you. The second lesson is from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
And make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people.
And bless thy inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
Because there is none other that fighteth for us, but
God, who in the birth of thy Son has poured upon us the new light of thine incarnate word and revealed to us the fullness of thy love, help us so to walk in his light and dwell in his love, that we may know the fullness of his joy, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
choir anthem in the bleak midwinter. The words of tonight's anthem were written by the English poet Christina Rossetti. The first verse describes a wintry scene in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Verse 2 tells of Christ's first and second coming. The third verse describes the humble surroundings of Jesus' birth. And verse 4 offers an introspective description of the narrative. Christina Rossetti's poem was first set to music in 1909 by Gustav Holst. 2 years later, in 1911, the organist and composer Harold Dark wrote a new melody to the words and arranged it as a choir anthem. Both of these versions of the carol still remain popular to this day, and it is the setting by Harold Dark that we are going to hear the choir sing this evening, in the bleak midwinter.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are many ways of showing love. The glossy magazines would have us believe that diamonds are the best way. The bigger, the better, encased in precious metal, of course. The slightly more modest weeklies would advise us to say it with flowers. Sometimes all it needs is a look, a hug, or a kiss. Sometimes love is expressed most strongly in the everyday things, the faithful, quiet presence, the attention to detail, the new coffee jar waiting when the old one is used up. But however it is shown, there is no disputing the fact that love plays an important part in our lives. To feel loved and needed is important to us all. St. John, in our second reading, encourages us to love one another. Why? Because the source of love is God. And God showed his love for us by the gift of the child at Bethlehem. That great gift that we celebrated just over a week ago here in St. Mary's. The child who came to show us what God is like and to set a pattern for our lives. A child sent in love so that we may have life and love in all its fullness. That we may know the blessings of God's love. But John doesn't stop there. If God thus loved us, my dear friends, we also must love one another. It is through love that we are at our fullest, because when we love as he loves, God dwells in us. Love surely must be the greatest of his gifts to us, the best way of all, St. Paul calls it in that other beautiful passage from the first letter to the Corinthians. He believed that through love, other spiritual gifts reach their height. All intellectual knowledge, skill at preaching, passionate faith, works of charity are useless unless they are done in the name of and through the leading of love. Let me tell you about Joan and her friend Mary, meeting outside the co-op one morning. "Oh, hello," said Mary. "You look a bit flushed, Joan. Anything wrong?" "No, not really. I've just got ticked off, good and proper." "Ticked off? By whom?" "My sister," Joan shrugged her shoulders as she went on. "I often call to see if there's anything I can get for her while I'm shopping. I was round her house the day before yesterday, but she was out, gone to see a neighbour. Her husband was in, though, and promised that he'd tell her I called, but he must have forgotten. Anyway, when I looked in a few minutes ago, She just about bit my head off. Said I'd time to waste, that I never went near, that I wasn't bothered about her and how much she had to do. Oh, my word, she was mad. And what did you say? Asked Mary. Me? Oh, I didn't say anything. I just came away. Poor Liz. She'd worried about her boy overseas, and that invalid husband of hers is such a care, and the weather's been trying, you know, and she's tired out. It would do her good to storm at me, release her pent-up feelings. Mary had to smile at her friend. Well, she said, after such a reception, I guess it'll be a while before you visit your sister again. What nonsense, Joan briskly replied. Why, I'm taking her a few strawberries now. Well, if not diamonds or flowers, then strawberries certainly would come next on my list. But it is the forgiveness of Joan for her sister that shows a depth of love that comes from the depth of God's love dwelling within. Do you remember the story in the Gospels when Peter, rather smugly, wishing for a pat on the head from Jesus, asked how many times he should forgive, and generously offered 7 times, far more than the 3 times that the Jewish law required? Not 7, I tell you, but 70 times 7 was the rap on the knuckles that he received. Unconditional love seen through unconditional forgiveness. Now, that is incredibly tough. But God doesn't ask us to do anything without providing the means. His indwelling spirit of love can give us the will and the strength. And what better way of showing love than God's way in forgiveness? Love will never come to an end, St. Paul said. Love will always be at the center of the universe. For with God, who is all love, continually trying to pour his love into each one of us, how could it ever come to an end? Amen.
Thank you.
As we gaze upon the child in the manger, please sit or kneel to pray. God of grace and truth, you have revealed yourself through the sending of your only Son. Let your eternal word spring to life within us and bring us to new life in you. God of grace and truth, we pray to you that you will give us the strength and courage to declare your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and truth, the angels proclaimed the message to the whole world that a Saviour was to be born. We pray for this world, a world where we see and hear of fighting and unrest, poverty and greed. Give to those in government and authority the integrity to make decisions that are for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and truth, the child born in a manger was your expression of love for all mankind. We hold before you all those who we love and remember at this time. We pray for our families and friends, for all those whom we have missed over this Christmas time. We give thanks for the hospitality shared and gifts exchanged. We pray that we can be reborn into the image and likeness of Christ in all our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and truth, hear our prayer for those who are ill at this time. We remember all those who will have spent Christmas in hospital or hospice. Comfort those who cry out in pain. Give strength to the weary and hope to those who suffer. From this community, we pray for Pat Hyde, Ginny Campone, Tom Heafy, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, David Grice, and Beryl Laverick. Together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mode. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace and truth, be with all those who mourn and bring to your eternal city those who have recently died. Remembering especially Patrick Crowley, Betty Bradshaw, and Eric Watson, and David Hilton, whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. We have been given a new life born in the manger bear. We have heard the angels sing their song, Alleluia. We have listened to the story of the Christ child who was king. And we wait for the wise men and the gifts that they will bring. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.